Right now, we are joined by a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. He is a professor at USC. He is a Los Angeles legend. He is a longtime, very good friend of this program. Arash Markazi is my guest. Arash, brother, it is so good to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Good. It's good to be home. It's good to be back with you, Romy. It's been way too long, so I am so stoked. I kind of forgot this was a byproduct of me taking my dream job, and it's still kind of surreal to hear you say Los Angeles Times sports columnist. I have to pinch myself, but man, it's good to be back.
Arash, it is so good to have you on the show. Honestly, it is so good to hear your voice, and I want to reiterate that. I mean, you're in Charlotte for the NBA All-Star Weekend, and I'll get to that in a minute, but knowing you, knowing the love you have for this city, knowing the love you have for LA sports, knowing how you grew up in this market, what does it feel like to hear yourself introduced as a columnist for the Los Angeles Times?
It still doesn't feel real. I mean, so I read Jim Murray growing up. I knew I wasn't going to be a player. At some point in your life, you realize, like, your mom's 5 feet, your dad's 5'2". You're probably not going to be taller than 5'6". So I knew, if I was going to be in sports, I was going to do sports commentary or journalism. And so that was always the dream job. So I've worked at some amazing places. But when the opportunity came along to join the hometown paper, being a kid from Los Angeles, growing up in the 818 and getting the chance to cover these teams. First week on the job was at the Super Bowl, third week on the job here in Charlotte for the All-Star game. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Arash Markazi joining us. He's a columnist with the LA Times. Arash, you mentioned Jim Murray. Now, you're writing the page 2 column for the Times, and your first column ran on February 12th, and you called Linda, the wife of Jim Murray, and you mentioned that. What did she tell you, and then what was it like to hear that?
So I basically wanted to give her a heads up that my first column is going to run Tuesday, February 12th. You know, if you want to pick up a copy, or I can send you a copy, whatever. And she said, Arash, I have chills right now. And I said, why? What? She said, Jim's column, his first ever column for the Los Angeles Times, ran on February 12th, 1961. I said, you got to be kidding me. Like it was like written in the stars. And again, listen, I'm never going to be Jim Murray, but the fact that that happened, it's some things that, are not just a coincidence. So that made me feel so happy. And again, to cultivate that friendship with her has been so great. So it's just, I'm on cloud 9 right now.
Hey, listen, for those who don't know, also, Jim Murray was a Pulitzer Prize winner, a 14-time National Sports Writer of the Year, and you were a Murray Scholar and a member of the Jim Murray Memorial Foundation Board, so you get a chance to follow in his footsteps. Let me ask you this. What was a bigger highlight, the conversation that you had with Linda or tweeting about that conversation and having that tweet liked by Jack Youngblood?
Well, the Jack Youngblood thing, I mean, that was another guy that I grew up, that's the coolest thing about this whole, a lot of the stuff that we get to do, I guess, I mean, it's still surreal for me when a player comes up to me and he says that he saw me on TV or that he, like, read my column because, like, and I really hope that I never lose that, wow, that is so cool that I'm talking to this person or that, it's like, the fact that, like, Jack Youngblood, and when I took the job, Jack Youngblood, thanks for all of the support you've given me over the years, and he congratulated me. I'm like, dude, you play with a broken leg. Like, thank you,
Arash, listen, I can go one step better. Like, for instance, I'm older than you, and I know what that paper represents. I know what it's like to read that newspaper. I learned, like, as a kid, my dad taught me to read the box scores when I was in first grade. I would fight the old man for the LA Times sports page every single morning. So when you mention Jim Murray, I think you can relate to this. When I think about the LA Times, I think about the amazing guys who came before you. I think about, like, Scott Osler. Scott Osler, back in the day, wrote the most amazing column. Mike Downey wrote an amazing column. Say what you want, I was always a big T.J. Simers guy. He wrote an unbelievable column. Alan Malamud, whenever
That's
came over the
guys.
Table, Mudd was the only guy who had my back. Mudd had a .. Arash column, you know that. And his .. was, Rome was wrong, Everett was more wrong. And Mudd told me how much heat he took for that. Hell, Bill Plaschke, man, our guy Plaschke, long before he was a TV star, was an L.A. Times guy. When you hear those names, what do you think?
The Alan Malamud one hits home because notes on a scorecard, like when you're a kid, you have a short attention span. I love that column so much. So the column that I'm doing for page 2 is really kind of built off of him, just like notes after notes. And again, like, I love Los Angeles sports. I don't want to just do a column on, like, the Clippers or, like, the Rams. Like, I want to do it on, like, call the team. So Mud's notes column is what I've based my column on. And again, these are legends. So, I mean, if I could do just one-tenth of a job that they did, they'll be stoked. But, yeah, I mean, the names that you mentioned, I mean, so just putting my name, at least in terms of I've written now for, like, the Los Angeles Times, I mean, if you would have told me that when I was growing up in Sherman Oaks, I would have said, no way, you're crazy. But, I mean, again, this has been a dream come true for sure.
Hey, look, Arash, you and I are doing, like, 818 stuff, L.A. stuff. I haven't even gotten to L.A. sports yet. Like, when you say growing up in Sherman Oaks, man, you know, I played my Little League baseball at Sherman Oaks Little League, you know, and I just did that. Takes me back to the evenings at the Sportsman's Lodge once a year.
Yep.
And those little miniature screwdriver sets that they gave all of us kids. And my dad, my old man from Boston, would be like, yeah, that's not a toy. That's not a toy. And I think to myself, man, I wish it were. It sucks. What am I going to do with a bunch of mini screwdrivers? The Sportsman's Lodge. All right, so listen, Arash Markazi, my guest. One of the things that you did do in that first column was introduce yourself to the readers, but also lay down some of your thoughts on the L.A. sports scene. L.A. sports fans in particular take a lot of heat for being fair-weathered. I would argue they're good fans who just have lots of other options, and they'll take advantage of them rather than be blindly loyal to mediocrity. What do you make of all the L.A. fan bashing, and how fair is it?
So here's the thing, and I mentioned this in the column, sports is the only form of entertainment where having a discerning eye makes you a fickle fan. And it's like, no, listen, if you put a bad product on the field, it is not my civic duty to continue paying for that bad product. And a byproduct of this is that Los Angeles teams know that they have to put a good product on the field. And I would argue that that's why they go out and sign the best players, they sign the best coaches, because you can't put a bad product on the field or the court or whatnot and attract fans. And so you could say that's a fickle fan base. But you know what? If you're going to sell out for a bad product, where's the motivation for a team to pay more? No, listen, we're going to pack the house regardless of what crap you put on the field. So I've always respected the Los Angeles sports fans for saying, no, listen, we will support you, but if we don't like the product on the field, just like if we don't like this movie or if we don't like this food at this like place we go to, we're not going to go. So, listen, this is not our right to pay for a bad product. So, again, I've always liked that about the Los Angeles fans.
Exactly right. Arash, this is why he has a column with the LA Times. Would you keep going to a crappy restaurant? No, of course not. Of course not. Arash, now, for instance, then there's the take on L.A. as a football town, and now we've got a team that went to the Super Bowl and another team that had a look at it. We've got two good football teams right now, and yet there's still this take that, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. The question is not Rams or Chargers. The point is neither will work because it's still a Raiders town. Not my take, but a take that I hear every single day. What do you do with that one?
So two things on that. The Oakland Raiders, and I really emphasize the Oakland Raiders, don't represent Los Angeles, Jim. They've been in existence for 60 years. They only spent 13 years in Los Angeles, and they moved away 25 years ago. So listen, it's not a Raiders town. The other thing is, there people are commentating on the TV figures in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl and the attendance. The Rams just moved back. We don't have this sort of connection with the Rams yet. I mean, imagine you broke up with your girlfriend, and then 21 years later, she comes back. At that point, you're married. You got two kids and a mortgage. And they want to pick up right where they left off. No, listen, I've moved on. I teach a class at USC. My kids, they all don't remember Los Angeles being, like, they don't remember a team being here. So they've all moved on. They're Packers fans. They're Steelers fans, Panthers fans. It's going to take a long time. When you're not in a market for 21 years, you lost all those fans. So it's not going to be like we are hardcore Los Angeles fans. It's going to take time. Listen, it might take 20 years before we are connected with the team. It would have helped if they won that Super Bowl, but it's going to take some time, whether it's 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, because, again, there's not that connection with Los Angeles with the teams there right now.
Arash Markazi is a columnist with the LA Times. Arash, one more thing before you go. I mentioned that Dell Demps was fired reportedly this morning. Look, Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker. The Lakers want Anthony Davis as well. Do you expect him to ultimately end up with the Lakers, or is that simply not a foregone conclusion?
My guess is that he does go there because he said quite publicly that he wants to go there. And I'm not saying that the trade package that they have on the table or that will be on the table this summer is the best one. But if you're the Celtics and if you're some other team and he said, listen, you could trade for me if you want to, but I'm going to Los Angeles, I don't know if you want to trade, you know, let's just say 2 or 3 future first-round picks and Jason Tatum and whatnot for a guy who's going to leave. So I do think at the end of the day, whether it's this summer or 1 year from today, he will be here in Los Angeles, but it's just going to take some time. By the way, there was no chance that deal was going to happen at the trade deadline. They were kind of strong-armed. The team looks bad like when that happens, but I do think he comes to Los Angeles sooner rather than later.
Last thought, Arash, you mentioned your class. What kind of class do you teach? And, like, I remember what it was like when I came up, and then you were the next generation, and you came up, and now you're talking to and teaching the next generation. What's the class, and what's the next generation like?
So it's a sports commentary class, and Jim, I'll tell you why it's so great. It's that at the beginning of class, I said, how many of you students know Jim Murray? No hands go up. I'm a little sad, but I get it. I give them a book of Jim's columns. These are his greatest Jim Murray columns. Linda Murray, his wife, comes into the class. She brings his Pulitzer. They get to pass around the Pulitzer, and they get to hold it. The last class we have, Steve Soboroff bought Jim Murray's typewriter. He brings in Jim Murray's typewriter. These kids don't even know what a typewriter is. They've never typed on a typewriter. They don't know what's happening.
Crazy.
They get to type on Jim Murray's typewriter. So it's a sports commentary class where I teach them how to do columns. And again, whether or not they want to be journalists or not, they get an appreciation for the job and what I do. And again, some of them have moved on to be sports journalists, but it's such a fun class for me. I love it, and I went to USC, and the fact that I get to go back to USC and teach this class is so cool.
Rush, you're home. You're home. You're home in L.A. You're
home
back
baby.
In the jungle. Man, you're home. A columnist for the Los Angeles Times, professor at USC, L.A. legend, good friend of the program. And, Rush, I got to think, and I don't want to be presumptuous, I got to think that you and I will be doing a lot more of this on this show.
I can't wait, Jimmy. We're so happy to hear that I was going to be on the show. So, please, let's do this more often.
My man, great to have you back, Rush. Congrats. And always reading the column. Rush Markazi, an L.A. legend and a good friend of the program.